The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We're actually all in here live today, so we won't be having any phone fun. That'll take away, you know, some of the excitement.
You weren't live last week?
No, we weren't here.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
We're live.
Bill wasn't live last week either.
Yeah. Okay.
He just forgot.
Yeah, that was it.
Bill was in suspended animation. So my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about us at wethepeopleradio.us. We have archives dating back almost 10 years, believe it or not.
I know.
I'm going to have to put
Where's the time gone?
I got to put a search function on the archives. I went to look for an old show, and it's like, oh, we just had that guy on, like you, Tom. We had you on. It was 2014. Like, are you kidding me?
Wow.
It's a generation ago. So anything about sponsorship, all that good stuff, literally the archives are terrific. And I've been doing things on the website. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, I have tabs up there for South Africa, China. We'll be going back doing some things on China either next week or the week after. Environmentals, nuttiness, marijuana. And so I'm trying to group the show so it makes it a little easier if you're topic oriented. If you have suggestions for me, I'd be happy for those. You can find all of our information, emails, cell phone numbers. We were hiding right out in the open there. We haven't even been banned by Twitter. I guess we're nobodies.
I know. Definitely not speaking out enough.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who said they hadn't posted anything on Twitter in like a year. Put one thing on there and got banned. I'm like, wow.
Oh,
I'm
there
not,
you go.
I'm obviously not trying. So our guest today is Dr. Tom Andrews, who is my work neighbor. And so we thought in light of all the things that are going on, it would be fun to have a psychiatrist come and talk to us, an actual real psychiatrist, not somebody who stayed at Holiday Inn Express like us. And he has been practicing here in Reading for 38 years, graduated from Loma Linda University of Medicine in 1979. We're kind of contemporaries. I graduated high school that year, so I wasn't obviously
That's
doing
close.
At least you could feel a lot younger.
I wasn't doing anything. I was working at Winchell's then. You were a psychiatrist. Oh, how far we've all come. Bill, what were you doing in 1979?
79, I think I was.
Can you remember that?
I was working on farm equipment.
Oh, my gosh, not much has changed.
No.
Oh. Ash is in there laughing. Oh, yeah, Ashley, what were you doing? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was born in 88.
Yeah, I know.
I that makes us all feel
I knew we were due for a SmackDown. I just thought we should have it on air. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, that was the fun part of the show. Now,
we have more fun.
Now on to the, yeah, I know. Well, actually, we can't help it. We have to goof around a little bit. But in light of the recent events, you know, with the shootings and different things like that, there's a whole lot of talk from a lot of people on television who are really unqualified to discuss the subject. And it's just frustrating that you have to listen to all these guys, you know, wow, you know what I think it is. And then, of course, you know, I have the need to watch CNN and MSLSD and all the rest of it, which just frustrates me even further. So here on August the 11th, 2019, we're going to air this live, but I'm sure we'll replay it at some point. That's the backdrop for what we're doing. So we had the shooting in Texas, and we had another one in Ohio. And then some other guy showed up at a Walmart with a gun but didn't do anything.
And we had the Garlic Festival.
Oh, we had the Garlic Festival. That's right. That's yep. Right, where that guy had illegal magazines. So obviously making those illegal didn't help us there. Huh, what a surprise. So from your point of view, what's it look like to you as you're watching the news? You see it from a whole different angle.
Well, isn't it interesting that we've had all these shootings in spurts? Part of the reason is I believe that people see the news and they see these events, and these are many times what we say disenfranchised individuals that suffer from some
sure.
issues such as emotional problems. And this is one way of certainly getting attention, isn't it?
And yeah, it's doing a little notoriety.
Doing notoriety, making yourself have some value to you that you don't feel much value of. I know that lately what we're hearing is it's mentally ill people doing this, and certainly someone would say, well, got to be a little crazy, right, to try and shoot up people, right?
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's a mental illness.
So when you hear that, is that frustrating? Or
it's a little frustrating because if you really look at the severely psychotic, mentally ill that might be involved in shootings, it's like really only about 5%.
Yeah.
And it's a very limited number. And if we were to remove them from the shootings, you'd still have 96% of the shootings in the United States.
Oh, 5% of all the shootings?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, hearing that same number this morning. They were saying if it was a mental
smart
ill,
that got
94%.
Yeah, 94% would still be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, so much for that.
So much for that idea, right? And yet the latest surveys, people feel that if mentally ill people had received treatment, 57% feel that we would have far less shootings, you know, in a large way. But I believe that certainly the mental health issue is an issue in our society. I mean, you've got 40% of the counties in the United States without a psychiatrist.
Really?
Yes.
How many?
40%.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And you've got 38,000, almost 39,000 psychiatrists in the country. And
they're
concentrated.
Is that a lot or a little?
Well, it's a fair number.
Seems like a lot of people.
It's a fair number. It should cover a lot of counties.
But they live in cities.
In concentrated areas. So it makes it harder for the mentally ill to receive the treatment. And it says 43% of adults in the United States who have a mental health condition aren't getting treatment.
Well, yeah. If you look at our homeless population, I mean, I would think that probably a large percentage of those folks have mental health problems, and you know it goes back to what do you do with those? I mean, you know they couldn't walk into your office and get treated. I mean, somebody has to pick up the bill on treating these people.
That's right.
And what do we do there?
You know, and I think another thing is another statistic I thought was interesting. It says that people who have serious mental health disorders, they're 3.6% likely to do more aggressive acts, violent behavior, in the serious mentally ill. But they're 23 times as likely to be perpetrated against.
Oh, okay.
So they're more likely to be a victim than to victimize.
I believe that, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. See, I had a feeling we were being lied to. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
The volume.
Yes.
No fooling.
Yeah, fooling. So this is this... you know, we like to think that anyone who kills someone has a mental illness, you know. And in fact, Philip Resnick, who was a forensic psychiatrist for Timothy McVeigh and for the Unabomber, he said in an interview that you have to remember people kill for all sorts of reasons. And they kill for profit, love, or greed, too. So, you know, you can't help but see on the news Chicago, what, 7 deaths in one weekend, 59 injuries. Baltimore just had 6 murders this weekend. So there's, in a sense, mass shootings in every city every Saturday night.
Right.
Right.
And every Friday
night. Some cities have them every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and mass shootings, anything more than 3 people.
I was just going to ask you that. What's the criteria? Because somebody said we've had 250 mass shootings this year. And I was like, what exactly are we considering a mass shooting? Because I'm thinking
3 or more.
School bus full, not
so
children.
So let's say you
like
caught
50 or 40.
You
or
caught
something.
Your spouse with someone else, you kill them too, and then you kill yourself. That's a
mass shooting. Oh, really? Okay.
In fact, they call it familicide. Familicide and suicide are common. You'll hear the stories of, you know, shoot the mother-in-law, the wife, and the father-in-law, and then he kills himself. You know,
so and that counts as a quote-unquote mass shooting.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a whole big giant chunk of people.
No.
Well, that's kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
And then what's the
I wonder who's in charge of that.
I don't know if you know the answer to this. But what about politically motivated shootings? I mean, is that something that's really – I mean, when we look at the guy that shot up the church – the kid.
What about the guy who shot Steve Scalise?
Yes, yeah, Steve Scalise.
At baseball play, you know.
That was a baseball field. That was politically motivated.
Yeah. So that's obviously on the uptick as well. Then you had the Las Vegas shooter.
What was his deal?
Yeah, I don't really quite understand.
They have never divulged the details of that. It's been sealed. You haven't been able to hear that.
Oh, well, that would explain why
we
just
don't
sort
know
of
much.
Disappeared,
yes,
actually,
it did,
from view. Okay, so we don't know what that guy's deal was.
Yeah, there were some suspicions, and I've heard things on the Internet. I wouldn't want to perpetuate some stories that we don't know are true or not, but they're apparently...
We're only going to talk truth, connection. Truth smack today, yeah. not just smack.
Yeah. There could be connections. They said that maybe the Saudi prince was visiting there. There were some issues there. Who knows?
Oh.
There was just some interesting,
serendipitous... There was a lot of strange things around that one.
No fooling.
But, but the issue is, I think, was they say that, let's say it said just the mentally ill, but the people who might be more prone to the shooting are those who've had a history of domestic violence and those who've had a history of substance abuse.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and so those are areas that you need to be aware of.
So just out of curiosity, we do have to take a little break here, but just to not forget the point, okay, if you're a substance abuser and you commit a crime like that and you also have some emotional, mental issues, are you considered mentally ill, or is that just chalked up to substance abuse?
It would depend on the identification of other symptoms a person's
having. I'm kind of curious about that part. Maybe we can talk about that when we get done.
Okay.
Because a lot of these things, you know, like you'll hear the person was a drunk driver, but then it turns out they were smoking pot. So a lot of the statistics for marijuana-related deaths go down as drunk driving because they choose that substance over the other. Anyway, if you're listening to We the People, we are going to chat about this the whole show today, so I hope you stick with us. You can find everything about us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Reading. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
Have you been involved in any type of accident and don't want to go through your insurance company? Well, bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. Bring it to Maaco here in Reading and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Maaco, 226. 206-0992. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Insurance companies may try to steer you to their recommended shop. This saves the insurance company money, not you. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work is backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
You're a part of Christ above's palace. Do what the rest don't do. Or face the fact the crack above's palace may have no other choice than to deport you.
Okay, so back to Cracker Box Palace, as it were. So you're going to tell us the distinction between, like, if there's a crime committed and someone, and they have multiple factors, how do they decide what they call it or what it's termed as? Because it skews the statistics, obviously,
right.
A lot.
It does. I think the question is, there's commonly held misconceptions that mass shootings are done by seriously mentally ill, and the people with serious mental illness should be considered dangerous.
That's true.
That's kind of a thing they do. And that somehow gun laws focus on mental illness with psychiatric conditions that, psychiatrists reporting these people or someone else reporting these people will somehow reduce the incidence of these crimes. And there's that has not proven true. Mass shootings, we talked about psychiatric mass shootings. When we mentioned that 3% number, it's actually the representation of total deaths by guns. It's only 1%.
Yeah.
It's only 1%.
And all the talk is about mental health.
Mental health.
There's a...
I mean, it's good that we're talking mental health because we do need to,
sure,
to have that.
But it seems...
To blame...
It just seems like the idea that, someone does something, right? And they wind up getting to be your patient. That then suddenly they have, it almost reminds me of like the flags on bicycles, the big tall flags so we can see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to flag those people because then we're going to stop them before they do something. I mean, how many of these cases?
Really, you can't do that.
I know you don't treat all these people, but just ballpark from 38 years of experience, how many of those people do you think you could have anticipated that this was their eventual route?
At the time, you're 50-50. I mean, you really aren't able to predict
it
any better
than
someone else.
Do in the
exactly,
future.
Exactly.
Well, and I would hazard to guess that in your 40 years of practice...
It's 38.
I'm around.
I'm feeling older.
You probably never treated anyone that did anything like this. I mean, it's not that common to have a mentally ill person being treated that... Does a mass shooting.
I like it when you're in the studio because then we can see the facial expression. Spoiler alert, he's making faces.
Well, I've had a couple people that were victimized by our government by mass shootings, which I would call mass shootings, which was David Koresh,
sure.
Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
They were survivors. They jumped out of the windows and survived.
Oh, wow.
And so they, they talked about that. So, and we've had other cases where... there was no shooting involved, but we were able to help a person who was being kind of in a room, someone holding a weapon on them, and they were able to give it up.
Right.
But the local constabulary force said, you go in the first, we're right behind you.
Well, thanks for that.
Thanks. I've had them do that to me, too.
You go in first.
Yeah, you go in and see if everything
looks
okay.
They empty out the swimming pool behind the office, but everyone...
yeah. Well... Okay, so if you had a patient, just by way of what's actually legal, okay? So you are dealing with people who have a variety of issues. Right. I mean, it could be super small. I mean, it's big for them, but small in the scope of things. But let's say you are treating someone you think, wow, this person's, talking. Maybe they're talking about doing something bad like that. You can't turn them over to law enforcement. Yeah, they haven't done anything.
In a sense, you could with the Tarasoff ruling, which is an old...
What is it?
The Tarasoff rule, which is where a psychologist didn't turn over someone. I think it was UC Berkeley. He was supposed to have turned over someone to the police to tell them this person was going to shoot his girlfriend.
Because he came in and said he was going to
do that, and he didn't do it. And so there was a legal case, so now they basically call it the Tarasoff ruling, where you're required to notify authorities if someone is making a verbal threat or intent to do harm to someone.
But doesn't that...
But that's different. It's different than predicting someone just because they're depressed or hearing voices and having these experiences, but they're not saying to you, I plan to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, but at that point, you can't even predict.
Even if they say they're going to do it, okay, so you're their doctor, and you think, well, gee, you know, I can't really keep this under wraps. So you call, make that report. Police can't arrest people for things that they say.
It's kind of like... what do they call it? Thought police?
Exactly.
Like Minority Report?
Yeah.
Yeah, where you're anticipated thought crime?
Yep.
Right.
And we think you're going to do something bad. We're going to come and arrest you. Yeah, we can't do that.
Well, with a law like that, too, I think you run the risk that they're not going to say anything if they know they're going to get turned in, so they'll just keep that part to themselves.
And you can't.
Let's not go see Dr. Andrews because he might. Right. Yeah.
Say it to us.
Report
And there's also this talk of, well, we're going to report. This is more in the previous administration, wasn't it? They were going to. Have us people if they weren't competent or you know certainly they can't
but
if they're coming and visiting you in the office that they have to disclose when they purchase a firearm that they've been visiting psychiatrists or having some mental health issues.
That's right.
And then the psychiatrist is supposed to make that determination. I didn't realize that we were kind of like law enforcement now.
Right.
We also had a crystal ball.
That was a problem.
And a crystal ball. And I think that really I won't. Pun intended, got shot down, but anyway.
Well, they also wanted GPs to report their patients if they were subscribing or prescribing
narcotics
or something. If they owned a gun, they turn them over to police.
Right.
Which, again, they're making the doctor
law enforcement. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're there to do. We're there to help people in a different way. Obviously, we're helping society. If that was an imminent thing that was going to happen and we knew it, of course we'd want to warn.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's something that we're trying to predict without any solid evidence, just because a person owns a handgun and happens to take OxyContin or owns a handgun and happens to see a psychiatrist, that's not...
it's not a crime.
That's not fair. It's not a crime.
No.
Huh. So if it was up to you, if you were the boss of it, from the psychiatry point of view, and you have these issues going on in the world, and they said, okay, you come and tell us, you know, Congress says, okay, you come and tell us where you think we should go from here. Is there is there a role, because obviously there is, but is there a role for prevention from you that would be a law?
A law. I'd have to look at the data and see what.
Yeah, because every case is.
There's every case different.
I
think a law is. I think what we're looking for is to understand people who have these problems. What kind of problems? They tend to be disenfranchised people.
Mm-hmm.
They tend. The early studies show they're people who have suffered childhood trauma. And they're people who have been abusing some substances, generally. And I think the third point was they also tend to have had a sense of social alienation. So those are the three things that seemed and a previous history of some violent behavior.
Yeah, they had those same points on. I was listening this morning, and the childhood trauma and a propensity for violence were two of the biggies. They said
and
every one of them had in common.
Right, and substance abuse.
And substance abuse,
right.
Yeah.
Because that really you know, substance abuse cuts off the forebrain from, mm-hmm. you know, thinking and determining consequences of one's actions.
Right.
And if you cut that off with a drug, then you don't anticipate what the
outcome
will be.
And a propensity for violence, I think, is really a big one, too, because these are the people that fly off the handle and don't think about their actions before they do it.
That's right.
And how do you legislate against that?
Well, see, that's the thing. So everybody's calling Congress and saying, you need to make a law to make this stop. But
what exactly is that going to look like? You know, you
can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're fringing on, or you're creeping up on taking people's rights away from them for no reason.
Right.
You know.
And then are we, which I want to talk about next hour, would be, are we getting into mind control? Are we getting into society control, thought police? Mm-hmm. And what has our government done in the past?
Well, and if we were good at being thought police, well, great, let's use it. Yeah. But I think we all know that we're not good at that.
Not very good at it, is right.
I mean, most people can't even read their own, you know. Look at how many people, they have families. All these folks have families. And you see friends and family who said, well, this person seemed like they were dangerous, but a lot of times they say, no, they seem perfectly fine.
Okay. The neighbors would say, hey, I didn't know Joe was like that. So it's interesting. But, I think that if we, like I said, the sad truth, you know, it's easy to get a gun in our country, and that's a good truth, I mean, but it's a sad truth that, you know, you can't control all that. And yet, should we control that? I think people have a right to bear arms because to prevent tyranny, to prevent it's not for hunting, it's for preventing tyranny. So that's why we have, more guns than people in the United States. And the second country
by
to that,
mile.
I think, is the Falkland Islands in the Western Hemisphere, and then Yemen in the other hemisphere, where it's about 52 out of 100 people have guns, 52 guns for every 100 people.
Well, and are the statistics in our country, in your profession, significantly different than around the world? Do you look at that much?
Regarding the mental health kids?
Yeah, just in mental health in general, not necessarily people who, you know.
Well, one condition probably, you know, is hitting our modern society, which is, I call it narcissism. It's a sense of where you have the right over someone else's right. You have the idea that it's you come first, the other person second. Pablo Picasso said it. This is how he treated women. He says you're either goddesses or doormats, and that's a typical narcissist kind of attitude.
You know, that's a topic I wanted to talk about. Let's go.
Picasso or narcissist?
The narcissist, yeah, because we're hearing more and more about that today.
Sure. So they throw that around a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they do. So let's.
Take a swift break. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret to the rescue. Pirate secret's gonna rescue you.
Pirate Secret essential oils can be purchased in Reading at Orchard Nutrition, Enjoy the Store, Country Organics, in Chico at SS Produce, Arcata in Wildberries, and online at piratesecret.com.
If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel,
the kind the drugstore sells. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again because the ending just too hard to take.
Yeah, you probably should make that the theme song for your office. If I could read your mind.
I love it.
If I could Gordon read your mind, you wouldn't need this appointment card. just a little tagline on the top. Yes, just for fun.
Hey, we were talking about narcissism.
For the special patients.
It would also put psychics out of business.
True, that would be a deal breaker.
So if a narcissist, let's talk a little bit more about that. Are you born a narcissist or can you become a narcissist? Is that a... something you achieve.
There's a book by F. Scott.
We all have goals.
By F. Scott.
Yes, we all have goals.
It's kind of connected.
It's on my bucket list.
It's F. Scott Peck. He's got this book, People That Lie. And basically it tells the story of narcissistic disorders and how they treat their kids and almost perpetuate this kind of behavior.
Oh.
It's a very demeaning life of how a person's needs emotionally are not met, and how are they are minimized, put in a way that the individual feels that he has no value, and then he has to seek value. In order to seek value, he minimizes other people's value and continues.
Got to step on them in order to be taller.
That's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's the American pathology, really, is narcissism. I used to tell my wife. When I was getting out of residency and child psychiatry, I said, you know what I'm seeing? I said, we've gone from neurosis to narcissism. Neurosis is the idea that, oh, you know, I must be doing something wrong. I've got to fix that, and someone's going to think something of me if I don't do it this way. And you're constantly trying to make up for something.
You're like nitpicking yourself.
You're nitpicking yourself, perceived threat of your own identity, constantly second-guessing. So... We go from this quality of that to narcissism, which is, I don't give a rip about you. By the way, get out of my way. I'm taking a selfie. You know,
right.
Kind of attitude. Yeah. I'll never forget. I was talking to one of my ex-employers, and she said to me, she remembers going in this. I said, that's a nice picture you took there. She says, yeah, that's a picture of Yosemite, yada, yada. And she says, yeah, I stood there all the half morning to get that picture. And all these people were yelling at me to get out of the way. But I wasn't going to get out of the way. I was going to get that picture.
Carol, you know we have a name for that. And it is an awesome photographer.
So, you know, I just said, enough said.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Anyway, so you know. You look
I hope they're listening right now. They're like, finally, she's been exposed. I'm still mad about it.
It's just really incredible. But it's a changing character of mass shootings over the last decades. We've seen that people, like in 2007, the guy shot people in Nebraska and eventually suicided from it. He left a note that says, just think, I'm going to be famous.
Oh.
Yeah, that says it right there.
There it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
So
isn't another offender, the Columbine offenders, one of them pre-shooting video said, isn't it fun to get the respect we're going to deserve.
Oh.
There again. That level of narcissism we talked about.
So you just about have to be a little narcissistic to mm-hmm. do something like that.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're looking for, is that attention.
Exactly. One quote of another person says, I am right and I've been treated badly or wronged, implying by other people my whole life. And that's what I talked about, the people who lie.
Yeah.
You know, the parents mistreated them or someone mistreated them. And that's the child abuse we talk about, the other things.
Right.
And so the person feels that they've never been validated that they're right or that they have been, but that they have been mistreated. So to prove they've been mistreated, now they're going to do something that's just reversing of it. It's called the reversal of the injustice. So it's like, you know how revenge works? You know, I'm going to give you Count of Monte Cristo, the famous book.
The circle.
Yes, exactly.
Well, but you would think if you were a narcissist, you wouldn't want to die because you would think you were super important.
Yeah.
But I'm not a psychiatrist, so I guess it's just like... I mean,
but this is the other thing. They become the lone protector of an unjust reality.
Oh,
how's that sound?
That sounds like James Comey.
Right.
Sounds like
the lone protector.
Bad days for everybody else.
Exactly. And so it could be said that Maslow's persecutory narcissistic mindset they want to reverse this. Mm-hmm. I'm this lone protector of this really unjust reality, but I'm going to make it a just reality by shooting people or doing whatever I can or this kind of thing. And it's kind of like the anti-hero. You remember Bonnie and Clyde? You know, it's not Robin Hood who gives
right.
the poor. It's Bonnie and Clyde. I take, and they end up dead, full of bullets, but it looks good. It's Bonnie and Clyde, you know.
Right.
It's in the movies.
And again, the other part of that is they don't care about the people that get hurt.
Oh, no.
That's the other, there's just no feeling there at all.
Because they're busy trying to right a wrong that they felt was just to do that. And, of course, it's not. But you can have some thought to them that, gee, they must have suffered somewhere in their life that they got hurt here. But where was that person to guide them through that hurt to help them see, look, there's another way to handle it, not in a destructive way, but actually in a way that will give you justice.
How is that different from say a sociopath?
The sociopath is more impulsive. The sociopath also doesn't follow the rules of society, has their own set of internal rules, and so they don't really have necessarily this is just or not just. They just do because they want to do.
It's what they want.
It just has nothing to do.
Okay.
With rectifying a situation.
Rectifying or justice or anything like that.
Of course, we feel the many politicians we have in that way. Anyway. Not all. There's some good ones. Right, Aaron? Anyway,
sure.
But they call it the dark triad of personality. Narcissism, psychopathology, and a Machiavellian attitude.
Oh, and anyone who's ever read that book knows how it ends.
That's right. That's a real dangerous combination.
So can you, before we leave narcissism, which I'm sure will come back, but the left went crazy when Donald Trump got elected. And so, of course, you know, there were thousands of psychiatrists that all said Donald Trump was a narcissist, blah, 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 and they all diagnosed him. Don't you actually have to meet the person?
It would be a good idea to understand them.
Are you actually
them.
Allowed as a psychiatrist to watch television and diagnose someone
somebody.
You've seen from sound bites?
Not from sound bites, but we do have telepsychiatry.
right. No, and that works, but it doesn't happen on.
It
doesn't happen when you're
culture,
on a new show.
The problem is you have these video platforms, these internet sharings, and they're just memes or clicks and this and that, and you really don't understand how a loner or a person suffering is going through. It's kind of an alienated state that he's in. And that just perpetuates the alienation. If you got peers in your classroom talking about you or doing negative things about you or your family. And so this person usually has a social connectivity. In fact, we can get to that later, but
they usually do.
They have a need for a social connectivity, but they deeply mistrust people.
Oh, so they kind of stink at it
at the same time.
Yes,
because they've been isolative. People have isolated them because they're kind of odd. And so he doesn't have a real experience in developing social attachments and has a result, you know, ultimately in feeling of being unwanted. So they feel unwanted.
So then
so
they take it out on other
people.
Well,
it's interesting.
And they'll miss them if
some of the highest areas of shootings are in schools. Or at work, because where do they have connection with people? Some connection.
Right.
It's in those areas. But they don't get a full connection. So it's like they're trying to create, you know, humanity has rejected me, and this is my retribution against them, and I'm proving my true worth to the world.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Well, the work ones.
And that's the work especially.
That, I mean, that makes sense. You know, you hear that this was the person who got fired from this job, and then they come back and take it out on their coworkers.
Yeah.
That actually is bad, but it makes sense.
Yes.
To us.
Yes.
But
we understand that.
But go to the mall in the middle of the day or go to Walmart and just shoot people for no reason.
Just randomly.
It's like, what do you get from that?
I know. And the largest shooting, I think, mass shooting was back in 1927. It was a shooting in a school. It was called the Bath School District shooting, 1927.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, 38 kids were killed.
Oh, my gosh. They talk about it like it just started happening.
Yeah, six adults. And this guy, he blew up. He blew up buildings, and he blew up himself at the end in a car.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out that this guy had – be careful the next election. But he had financial difficulties. He had problems with his wife getting along, so he did that. And then he also – lost an election. So it's interesting that when you mentioned Trump,
the full implosion,
that the other side of the people who lost the presidential election, the level of maybe narcissistic injury mm-hmm. that they're feeling
right.
is high. So they're left to wonder what to do. And then they point out and say, well, Trump's such a narcissist. You know, they always say that.
Right.
And then they go on and say, well, maybe. But the issue is, if we continue to have this kind of attitude of where we're trying to put down another person to raise ourselves up, you're on unstable ground there.
Right, right.
Because that really puts you into negative territory. I mean, if we look at the idea of anger and revenge, I hope we can get into that a little bit next time, too.
Because anger and revenge is a big one.
It's a huge
one. And that's one that... You don't have. I mean, obviously, you don't have to be mentally ill to feel anger or revenge.
No.
Those are emotions. Pretty much
everybody
knows,
has.
Right?
And it's some people just don't control it.
And they found out that people who the classic mass murder, three or more victims. Some of the FBI has done say it's anger and revenge are the big ones. Social alienation, and then they tend to plan, and many of them plan not to survive. So they know it's a termination thing, but then they want to show themselves that they have value, so they will leave something on the internet or leave a message.
Oh, the
or
manifesto. Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Things like this. And, they have paranoid traits as well, and there's usually a sense of, that going on as well.
Just because you think they're watching you or what does that go
with
it, doesn't mean they aren't.
Yeah, and then they have some categories of proposed classification system for mass murders. There's the school.
Okay, hold on. Well, let's do that all in one piece.
All right.
Take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Can you believe we're almost done with the whole hour? So I told you an hour was not enough. This is a big topic. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Dr. Maya. I've seen the years and the slow parade of years without cries. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my
our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant, so
Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
My ringtone on my phone for a while.
I love it.
But every time it went off,
people would jump.
My mom would scream. But, you know, if it goes off in the doctor's office, good. Goes off in church, good. Pretty much everywhere else, funny. I don't know. So
I like it.
Just a helpful hint for anyone who needs more amusement in their life. You could always go with the James Brown ringtone.
There you go.
That's all I've got. I'm like a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Just, you know, in just a different category.
Yes.
I'm going to practice music therapy.
Music therapy and... I think the clients would really appreciate it.
Actually, people could use it. They could use the distraction. So, okay, you had categories.
Yeah.
Let's do all our categories together.
Okay. This is a classification from Noel and Marzouk. These are from 2012. There's six. Two are kind of close. School resentful, workplace resentful. They're two separate ones, but school resentful, the victim is usually peers or teachers. They have a relationship, and the motivation for most of these things is resentment and revenge. And so that's the key. And there's usually paranoid cognitions associated with that.
Give me an idea. If you're one of those, right, mm-hmm. is that a – because it seems to me like that would be a long simmering thing.
Yes, it is.
That doesn't seem like a deal that happens like –
impulsively.
Your junior year in high school. I mean,
right. No, that's something
that's been brewing for a while.
But, yeah. God, anybody that's been to school, I mean, kids typically are pretty cruel.
Yeah, you look back, we're all lucky to be alive.
You think of the movie Carrie, you know,
yeah.
The ultimate revenge,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
Even from the grave, right?
I mean, yeah, but kids get picked on all the time in school. And
you look at some of the, you know, in your mind's eye, you look back at school and you think, wow, could have been a lot nicer to some. I mean, you just...
Right.
As a kid, you don't think about what's going on at somebody else's house because you think it's always like your house.
Right.
And you
but how much of the whole bullying thing, you know, I mean, we've made that such a crime that it doesn't really...
As bullies, we're getting ready to get pounded.
Well, it doesn't let kids
all right, let
deal
us have it, Don.
It, you know?
Right. I mean, there's a point, I think, where bullying, you know, you need to stand up for yourself. True.
Right.
But then there's also a point where bullying goes way beyond.
Way, way too far.
And that is what causes that resentment. Right. And it's really unkind. And I think if everyone would take a more understanding, kind way of working with everyone, treat people like you want to be treated, golden rule.
They would do what my mom said.
They would do
right?
it.
Yeah, because whenever kids were mean to us, my mom would say, well, you just tell them that's the way God made you. And it's like, that's probably not going to help.
That's a beat down,
a lot. I have a feeling that might accelerate things.
Yes.
Yeah, my mom never bullied anybody in her life, obviously.
Expensive for the Catholic school.
Right? Yeah, she raised five bullies, but she knew nothing about it.
And then the other is indiscriminate resentful, which is arbitrary. The victim, that's probably the one that could be more sudden and unexplainable. Why is it happening? What's happening? It's not work-related.
Like if you have
it's not a co-worker. It's not a fellow peer that's teased you or passed you for a promotion or didn't give you an A in the class. You know, it's
sure.
It's completely non-connected. It's
just kind of comes out of
kind of maybe
it started somewhere else.
Yeah,
and it's, flashpointed.
I mean,
that.
The Gilroy incident's close to that. Now, some people say he targeted just the Hispanics there, and there was that.
I don't know much.
I don't know if that happened, but he did say something before he went shooting, and he just said, "I'm angry," and so he was just extremely angry.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that is what's associated with arbitrary.
Okay.
It's just a lot of rage and no way to displace it in a healthy way. But that's another thing, is learning how to handle your anger without hurting others.
Right, and that I think that's where, in a school setting, I mean, I think that's where you kind of learn mm-hmm. to do mm-hmm. that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you, like and, you said, you got to stand up for yourself. I mean,
right.
not There's, always going to turn out perfect, but at least the other kids will know if you pick on that guy, he's...
You know, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy target.
Well, I would imagine...
And then then you don't have to go to the extreme of making everyone a target and shooting people.
Right.
Sure.
Because you have... Let it go, because right. you didn't learn some skills either through your family or through the previous abuse you had as a child because, mm-hmm. you know, you were so put down.
Right.
You know, kicked.
Yeah, the whole home abuse thing is a real toughie because kids can't straighten that out themselves.
Right. And that's where therapy is important, going mm-hmm. to get a therapist, getting some help. And if it's a point like the poor guy in Dayton, he was hearing voices. His girlfriend said he was hearing dark voices that were affecting him. And so as a result, that he was psychotic. And and he had a transgender sister, who probably got a lot more attention than he did.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure there were a lot of things. And so
how old was that?
He killed her plus 9 people in 30 seconds.
That's the one who killed the sister.
And the police killed him very quickly.
How old was he?
He was 24.
Wow.
So that was more of indiscriminate, resentful kind of.
Well, like, let's say you're having these problems at school, but then home is great. How much can home mitigate school?
Oh, it can. It can. You know, if you teach, if there's communication about the problem, you know, that's the key. Now, let me hit these other 3 points.
Okay.
There's a specific community resentful. So if you are particularly resentful of a Hispanic community or Black community or maybe white community, and that is more of an identifiable group, and that's more of the Walmart shooter
mm-hmm.
that came out, how he targeted the Hispanic.
And
then the pseudo community psychotic, that's a person who says they're all against me, and you create this them versus me, and you have these voices, and you don't know who it is, and it's...
And they're telling you to do stuff.
Right, paranoid delusions, right. And then you have the familial depressed, where it's a spouse, ex-spouse, and you become a mass murderer with your own family, you know, that kind. So those are the five
they
or six
make the
categories.
TV shows about?
Yes.
Wow. So those people comprise, I know there's probably not a specific statistic, but...
Yeah, I mean, less than 1% of gun killings in the country, because most of the gun killings, if they're not, you know, gang-related, inner-city violence, things like that, are suicide, just plain suicide, one person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
Can't really make a law about that.
Right.
God tried that. Didn't work out. So we're probably not going to.
But I find it interesting that so many of these killings, like Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, week in and week out, this goes on. And they take those numbers as mass shootings, but they don't do anything about that.
Right.
They wait until there's a totally unrelated mass shooting someplace, and then they use that to bump their numbers up and say, we got to do something.
We got to do something because the mass shooting is. And the other thing is, the only thing associated, you know, we talk about video games or with mass shootings, the one thing is not the video games as much, though I do feel video games have a way that affect people, for sure.
They have to.
And we'll get into that in a moment. But the last thing I want to say is that it's watching the reproduction of TV coverage of the mass shooter has more to do with creating more mass shootings.
Really?
Yes.
So they see that and they think, I could do that.
Yes. They should definitely minimize the shooter. And they can just say there was a mass shooting, there's victims, but do not mention.
Don't mention the name.
The name of the
Stop
shooter.
Doing wall
and
to
some,
wall
some of
the all
networks
day
do
long.
That. I noticed a lot of them are trying not to mention the name.
I would not mention the name or identification, mm-hmm. Though it will get out there on the internet now. Everyone can do that. But the point being, the media doesn't have to play it over and over and over again.
That's exactly what they want.
It takes somebody
who's kind of on the edge and keeps pushing them closer.
Right. Because, look, I can have infamy. I can have infamy.
So that's why they happen in little bunches sometimes?
Right.
Literally doing it to ourselves.
Now,
how not smart is that?
The next hour, we'll get into maybe some ideas that are a little more fringy.
Good. Next hour is fringy ideas. You know what? We can do whatever we want.
Good.
Sunday afternoon, thank heavens. All right, we're going to take a quick break for capitalism and the news. What a good combination. Right. And we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. A law enforcement source tells the New York Times financier Jeffrey Epstein was alone in his jail cell the night of his apparent suicide. The Times spoke to the conditioner or the official on the condition of anonymity. The Associated Press has not independently confirmed the information. An official with knowledge of the investigation told the Times that Epstein's cellmate was transferred. North Korea's confirmed leader Kim Jong-un supervised test firings of an unspecified new weapons system.
The report by North Korean state media comes hours after President Donald Trump said Kim sent him a letter expressing desire to meet again to start nuclear negotiations. The president says the North Korean leader also apologized for the flurry of recent launches that has rattled U.S. allies in the region. State media say Kim expressed great satisfaction over the tests, which verified the new weapon system performs as designed. The latest streak of launches are being seen as an attempt to build leverage ahead of negotiations with the U.S. while driving a wedge between Washington and South Korea. I'm Sarah Bassett.
Universal Pictures has canceled the planned September release of its controversial social thriller The Hunt in the wake of recent mass shootings.
The movie is a gory, R-rated political thriller that depicts liberal elites hunting people in red states for sport. President Trump criticized the planned movie on Twitter this week without mentioning its name, saying it was intended to inflame and cause chaos. Universal had already suspended the marketing campaign for the film, but in a statement Saturday, the studio says it decided to cancel release altogether, saying they understand and now is not the time for the film. It was due in theaters September 27th. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Italian fashion house Versace's apologized in China for selling T-shirts that it said attached incorrect country names to cities. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Maybe you'd like to know what exactly Relief Factor is. It was created by doctors. It's a 100% drug-free supplement with four key ingredients that simply help your own body deal with the natural inflammatory response that it has. It's easy to swallow, four little capsules in each packet, like the packet that I carry with me at all times. Three packets a day for a week, then two packets a day for 2 weeks, and I have just described the three-week quick start. And you will know in 3 weeks, that's the beauty of it, whether it works. They don't drag you on. That costs just $19.95. There's a very good chance that a very serious percentage of my listeners suffer from some sort of muscular or joint pain. You should try this for $19.95. That's all you can lose. If it works, they'll send it to you automatically. If it doesn't work, tell them not to send any shipments, and it's as simple as that. It is all at ReliefFactor.com. I've been using it for years now. ReliefFactor.com.
Nissan has agreed to pay $1.5 million to settle a lawsuit filed by the estate of an 18-year-old who died in the crash of a vehicle that lacked a rollover sensor.
Ashlyn Overton was a rising senior in 2017 when an oncoming vehicle veered into her lane, hitting the front bumper of her 2016 Nissan Versa. That caused a rollover crash, and Overton's estate attorney, Chris Moore, says the vehicle did not have a sensor that would have activated the side curtain airbags if it had rolled over, and the airbags may have prevented fatal head trauma. Nissan attorney Kevin Malloy says no law required those sensors at the time of the crash and noted the victim was not wearing a seatbelt at the time. Bob Agnew reporting.
The National Highway Safety Administration is investigating complaints of malfunctions with the front passenger airbag sensors in more than a half million Subaru Foresters. NHSA says that the investigation centers on Subaru Foresters from the 2016-2018 model years. News and analysis at townhall.com. The July wholesale price report may be good news for consumers, but for the Fed, the same data prompt another interest rate cut.
U.S. wholesale prices ticked up just 0.2% in July, according to the Labor Department, a sign of low inflation, even with tariffs. but Jerome Powell had cited low inflation as a key reason for the Fed's recent rate cut. Thus, if the Fed reads the numbers as a recessionary indicator, financial analyst Hillary Kramer says another possibly larger rate cut could come later this month.
Most likely, not just cut the Fed funds rate by 25 basis points, but by 50 basis points.
Hillary Kramer edits Game Changers in cooperation with Salem Media. George Bonzani reporting.
After devastating flooding this year, Iowa put $15 million into a special fund to help local governments recover and guard against future floods. Missouri allotted more money to fight rising waters. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
This is the second hour of a two-hour show here on August the 11th, 2019, in case we replay it at another time. First hour, we were talking about some of the shootings that we've had of late here in the United States, and there's a lot of discussion by a lot of people who, you know, most of them have stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, you know, like me. And we could all talk about psychiatry, but we're not actually real psychiatrists. So we thought it would be better if we brought in an actual real psychiatrist with like 38 years in practice. It's just fancy. He happens to live right here in Reading, very handy. So Dr. Tom Andrews is with us, and we're picking his brain. Not all of it, though, so in case you're, counting on him Monday, we'll leave some for you. And so we're getting a free couch work in here. Darn it, we're sitting on stools. We should be on couches. I asked you one time if psychiatrists really use couches.
And I do have one.
Yeah. I always thought it was just in the movies. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely getting an education on.
Yeah, because, you know, talk a lot about everybody's mentally ill, and that's why they're all shooting people. So we need to make laws where somehow we have, like, secret agent glasses, and we can tell who's going to go off the rails, but... Just for the folks who maybe are just tuning in, give them that statistic again of how many of these kind of shootings would actually be tied to mental illness.
About 1%.
1%.
So much for that terrific law we need to craft.
Mm-hmm. Because we have so many shootings on the weekends in the inner cities. We have suicides, some domestic shootings that are not mass shootings. So mass shootings, 1%.
And mass shooting counts as three people or more.
Correct.
And you aptly pointed out at the beginning that it could be your wife or husband and maybe somebody that they're, you know, maybe having some extracurricular sport with and you.
And of the mass.
And the three of you. You never left your house and you had a mass shooting.
Right. And of the three, that's gun violence in general. But of mass shootings, it's 4% that are done by the mentally ill.
People who are classified as mentally ill.
The FBI came up with 25% as a number, but because there's less mentally ill people than not mentally ill, then when you figure it out that way,
with demographics,
then it's only 4%.
Oh. Say that again?
So when you have 25% of the mass shootings that have had mentally ill people, when you mix it with the whole idea of shootings, just shootings in general, it drops it down to 4%.
Oh, which is a truer number.
Right.
So the 25% we're looking at is basically a statistical fudge.
Right.
Interesting. That hardly ever happens. We haven't seen that at all lately.
Never. But, you know, and we suggested interventions might help. Policies and laws would focus on those individuals whose behavior is identified as being at risk, you know, so that makes sense, so of committing gun violence. And so two areas, previous history of violence we talked about, and suicide attempts. Those are two high risks that are connected and that should be screened, and people that should be sort of the red flag. We're talking about the red flag for guns. Suicide attempt with previous histories of violence.
Right. Yeah, I don't think anybody could argue somebody who's suicidal should not have a gun.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then the second thing would be public health educational campaigns should emphasize the need for third-party reporting or concern warnings to law enforcement. So, again, there's some – we talked about that first hour.
Right.
That maybe that makes you in the role as a police officer, you know,
well,
by doing that. But maybe reporting, this reporting could be just for the public, not necessarily for the psychiatrist. Because, again, psychiatrist is only –
Sure.
I need to correct the statistics. He's only in 40% of the counties. 60% of the counties don't have a psychiatrist in the country.
So when people go, I understand that you're a medical doctor if you're a psychiatrist.
Right.
And you're not if you're a psychologist.
That's correct.
So.
You could go to a psychologist.
Why would you go to one or the other?
Usually a psychiatrist is a referral because of medical concerns.
Okay.
And the need for medication.
Maybe medication. Okay. Right. So when they say you guys are always putting people on medication, that's actually pretty much your job.
Pretty much a regular.
They would go to you for that.
That's right.
Like in Shasta County here, how many psychiatrists do we have?
That's a good question. We have 2, 3, 4.
Oh.
I would say.
More than one.
Well, you have the VA and you have county mental health.
Oh.
And you have Shasta Community Health.
Okay.
And so with that, you're probably maybe 6 or 7 or 8 psychiatrists counting that. But then ones in the VA setting, there's several there. There's several in county mental health.
And you were saying there's a lot of telehealth.
And there's telehealth.
And that actually has – I thought it kind of sounded crazy that you would talk to your doctor over the – literally a computer screen or a TV screen. Right. But
you
think it's pretty
– Yeah, we're doing it in our – I have two businesses. One's my private practice and one is I have a practice called North American Mental Health Services, and it's with Benton Kinney, my partner. And he was my PA that used to work with me in my prior practice. But we service telehealth, and we also do county mental health via telehealth. And we do Native American clinics, and we also do walk-in Medi-Cal population. Mm. So we work with the poor population or the people who have had difficulties with their finances. We work with them, and we have both therapy and we have medication management. Providers that are nurse practitioners trained in psych and PAs trained in psych that are physician extenders. Plus, we have psychiatrists kind of associated with us. And our clinics are over the North State. So we're opening up a clinic for telehealth in Eureka this month. And then we have one in Woodlands. And we're hoping to open one in Fairfield.
So bottom line is if you're having issues and you don't live near a large city, perhaps –
Yeah.
There are a lot of options.
Open. Right. You could call into North American Mental Health Services and talk to Hillary there, and she could set you up with a telepsych.
So what happens when somebody, because I'm thinking some of these people have said, you know, I knew my son or my daughter or whatever was, you know, scary or, you know, whatever was going on or they were kind of in trouble. You can't make somebody go to the doctor, whether it's for a cold or a psychiatrist.
You could...
let's say it's an adult child. Because, if it's a little kid, obviously you can put them in the car.
Right.
But let's say it's your 20-something-year-old son, and you're thinking, eh.
Well, sometimes it does work to say, here's someone who can help you. Here's someone who's going to, you know, care about what you're saying and want to listen to the problem and try and come up with a solution for you. So,
do they know they have a problem?
Some do.
No all and no never, but
and if they're exceedingly paranoid, they maybe know they have a problem, but they're afraid because they're afraid of what
they're
can
paranoid.
Be done to them. Yes, they're paranoid. Something can happen to them. But if they are open to coming for help, if the family could do it in a kind, interventional way, saying, "Look, you haven't solved the problems. You need some help with this.
Sure.
This we're not committing you. We're just bringing you there to get
Should
some help.
They call you? I mean. Because, people who listen all over the country, right? They're not just here in town.
How does a person, where do they go? I mean, I got somebody with a problem. Who do I call?
Do they call you and then, are you allowed to call someone and say, hey, I hear you need an appointment?
Well, usually we have, you know, people who answer the phones and are able to do that and set up an appointment. That's mm-hmm. how we do it because I've got to take care of the people who are people who I see regularly. But people who have a problem want to come in. Like I said, North American Mental Health Services on Oregon Street here is good for people who, you know, have Medi-Cal and who need some help right away. We can get them in pretty quick. The program in my office has a little bit of a wait list, but you can call Thomas D. Andrews, MD, Inc. It's called, you know, Psychiatric Care Centers. But
sure.
So do you get referrals from like GPs? Say, yes. Hey, you know what? This isn't something I can do.
Exactly.
This guy can help.
They've had two rounds of antidepressants, and they tried to give them a little something to help, and it's not working. So they usually refer to us at that point. And we get referrals, like I said, from therapists too, because the therapist has been working with a client for a while. They say, look, we can only go so far with this case. We need some medication help.
Right.
So we do that too. Hmm. But like I said, institutions, we could have a forensic threat assessment team maybe to evaluate dangerousness, third party. That could be something we could do. Congress could enforce kind of the idea of having teams, action teams, which would be good, versus a law that says we're going to check your guns, all that. Well, okay, that's fine. But
how helpful?
It would be much better to have a team of trained people to be available to someone who's having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be better. And also to provide education in elementary school, starting in elementary school, how to focus on problem solving, how to deal with skills of dealing with your anger and conflict resolution. They should have a class. Every school should have
Yes.
And then parents can even attend.
Mm-hmm.
How do we solve this? Because, let's stop this unnecessary violence in our community.
Well, and the kid at that point would have somebody they could go to.
Right.
Say, hey, I'm in the class and this is happening. And
right.
What do I do?
So what happens when, because, whenever you watch, maybe everyone else isn't watching true crime, but, I watch a lot of true crime. And so you see sometimes where one of the kids gets, they've got a mom who's a nut, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kid gets out, the oldest kid gets out and tries to go get help, calls CPS. CPS comes to the house and talks to him in front of the mom.
Very helpful, yeah.
Yeah, so they think, okay, the system isn't going to help. So what happens when you have a parent who is the problem? You guys, I'm sure, are mandated reporters.
Yes, we would be mandated.
So if you feel like it's a child abuse situation, but what if it's the narcissistic parent
who
that's kind of causing the thing?
Yeah.
Then do you suggest maybe, hey, the parents ought to come in at a different time. We should chat.
It'd be nice, but if they're a narcissistic parent, they're not going to come in.
Right.
So you have to help the kid. And so that's where school counseling can help, because if the kid can't get to the session outside of
home. Yeah, if they don't drive, if they're a little kid.
But if they go to school, then the counselor can help there and identify the
problem.
Yeah,
and I think if you identify that at that early age, it's not such a huge problem at that point where it can't be resolved fairly quickly, as opposed to wait until they're an adult when they have all this baggage they have to deal with.
And heavy baggage. And now, on top of that, now they're smoking marijuana to cope.
Yeah,
which maybe we should talk about.
All right, we'll talk about that on the backside of our celebration of capitalism.
Okay.
And this song going out, you should introduce it. This is
Bond Girl. This is James Bond Woman. My son and his band Lumbercat wrote it, and they hope someday to get it out there to the people making the Bond movie. Maybe the next Bond movie is supposed to have a woman.
Yes, that's what.
So maybe they can get that to have this thing. So it's been
nice.
It's a cool song.
All right, here's a little snippet of it. I think it's like 45 seconds or so. We'll be right back.
Girl, so smooth. She plans each move and parts her lips and touch is last of him. She's the danger. Fine-tuned figure, she sets aside. Trained with the deadly surveillance. The boat is shaking, the girl's not stirred. She's the one who had the most fun. He can't hide from the gun in her finger. He better run from this James Bond woman. She shoots to kill.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hey, North State sports fans. This is Brent Weber. I'm the host of Scorecard Scribblings from The Sports Guy. Me, Brent Weber. It's a blast. It's a chance to get some of my old friends on to chat about sports and meet some new folks, too, that can tell us what's happening out there, not just in the North State, but around the world in sports. So be sure and join us. That's Wednesday nights at 6.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Redding. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
There we go, and we're back. We had a little free sound in the background. It was Bill Tablet. I was like, where is that sound coming from? We put on our headphones, and then we just play our computers while we're sitting here so you can listen to the annoying sound in the background. It's just another service we provide.
That's right.
Yep.
Free
so
charge.
We've been doing this for almost 10 years, and we still do stuff like that. That's just what makes it fun.
It does.
Okay, so what else are we missing?
Well, I really think we need to look at something. Okay? We talk about gun violence. We talk of economy, this and that, and this and that. But really, America's gone to pot, hasn't it?
You know, it's
Boy,
a topic
sure
that we've actually devoted an entire tab at the top of our thing because it's people are really super uninformed about how bad it is.
Yeah, they don't know.
It's all about that it's going to be magical and that it's going to solve all your pain problems and it's going to calm you down. It's great for PTSD, blah, blah, blah.
But in actuality, it's not.
Yeah, let's give you some stats on that.
Yes, please do.
Well,
first, get another voice in the chorus of
yes.
truth.
I mean, they did studies. Like, of course, we could blame the Swedes, but the Swedish Army did a study.
Darn Swedes.
And but if you had used marijuana by age 18, you were 2.4 times at risk of schizophrenia in the next 15 years. Okay.
Wow.
If you were a heavy user, you were 6.7 times as likely to develop schizophrenia in 15 years.
Comes with free schizophrenia.
Yes, it does.
Shoot. Well, what could be wrong with that?
A New Zealand study out of 1,000 cannabis abusers between 15 and 18. They had increased rates of psychosis by age 26 in that group. The British Medical Journal, 2000 teens were studied, and they were two times as likely, if they were marijuana users, to develop psychosis.
Wow.
And the other reverse, 13% of all cases of schizophrenia could be prevented if they wouldn't use marijuana.
So when we talk about psychosis, it's a word we throw around, but what does it really mean?
Well, it's like, just like this shooter, Betts, that was in Ohio.
Okay.
He was hearing dark voices. He told his girlfriend, dark voices, troubling voices. And
you write in the chart, psychosis.
Psychosis. You'll probably ask what he's hearing, and then because he said they were dark.
So it's not a small thing.
No, it's not a small thing.
It's not going to just...
When it gets to that point, you've definitely got to do
so let's
it's not
going
to make you not finish your tasks on time.
That's
I mean,
right.
This is like you're hearing voices stuff.
Yeah, so let's look at pot. Pot has the THC and the CBD cannabinoids. Let's look at their levels from 1960 to 2011. It was, let's say, for THC, it was 1. You know, let's say 1 is a starting point in the 60s. It's 11 times as powerful as it was in the 1960s. Some people say even higher. But
the bad part is the people making decisions about the fact that these things should be legal may have used pot
in the 60s.
In the 60s.
Right.
So they haven't got a clue.
They didn't have a clue how much more powerful it is. And CBD has been steady, so that part has not changed much. But we're looking at it is 10 times more potent than it was in the 70s, 80s, 60s, you know, in that time. So what has that happened? We've had 4 states recently that have been studied since 2014 that legalized marijuana: Alaska, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. Violent crime rates have gone up in each of those states. Each of those states.
Commensurate with the marijuana.
Marijuana law. 30% in teens in one African village that we've been in contact with, a native tribe, 30% of those teens are committing suicide. And they're on drugs, marijuana, alcohol.
Wow. So when you add alcohol to the mix, obviously it doesn't help.
Right.
But how big of a force multiplier is it?
It's definitely, oh, goodness, 50%.
Lower the inhibition and dial up the psychosis.
And suicide.
Bingo.
So now here's the other part. I had a patient come in, one of the students, and he came in, and he had been hospitalized at a hospital. And he acutely was psychotic and hearing voices, and he was suicidal. He came back to tell me he was, you know, they're on the pipe with marijuana at one of the local high schools. And the concentrated THC.
Now, in the pipe, what do you call it, the
oils,
vaping type
stuff?
Yeah,
vaping, yeah. 95%. And the statistics show nationally it's 56%. So
but that's a lot.
So that's going from smoking marijuana, which is 11 times what it was, you know, maybe somewhere between the teens percentage-wise, all the way up to 95%. I even called the company because he told me the name of the place down in Sacramento. I called him, and I sounded like an adult, you know, sophisticated kind of style with him at first. And then I just thought, hey, why don't you switch into, hey, man, you know. Kind of that kind of stuff. So I did that. I kind of switched into that. And he just, without a pause, he switched into that lingo himself. They're just there to sell the stuff to these kids.
Well, and it gets back to when you go to the local.
And he confirmed the percentage of how much.
That it was like 95%?
Yes.
Yeah, and these are the folks that are going to diagnose your problem at the pot shop. You know, you're going to go in, I can't sleep, or, hey, I got a headache. And they're going to recommend the type of marijuana and probably the potency of marijuana that you need because they're trained. You know, they're like just like doctors in Mexico. But yeah, they're going to tell you.
They can tell you,
and you're gonna take that advice.
Take that advice, exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. What do they call it? Reefer Madness.
Yeah,
that old movie.
But see, all those old movies, you know, basically talked about how everybody smoked pot, ate a lot of, you know, Doritos, and then took a nap.
Right.
But that's not what's happening now.
Well, it was then. You know, at 11%. Yeah, it was not a big deal.
But they made it
a big deal, but it nothing like it is today.
You're taking 95% THC and you want to throw yourself off a building or somebody else or go as a group?
Wow. This is interesting statistics. I also said marijuana sold at legal dispensaries is 5 times more potent than the pot in the 70s and 80s, as I mentioned earlier. And that young people born in 1999, which was the year the shooter was born.
Those are younger people than you, Ashley.
That's right,
by the way.
1999. So the El Paso shooters, his birth date, were 50% more likely than those born in 1984 to report feeling serious psychological distress in the previous month. So not only are we dealing with more stress, now we're dealing with sharp increases of violent crime since the passing of marijuana. And these people have been using drugs. I'm sure that we'll find out from their history there must have been some usage.
Talking points is marijuana calms you down. You know,
it
depends what you have. You know, I
back
have
in the day, maybe
people. Let's say if you have ADD, some people with ADD have opposite reactions to medications. You give them a Benadryl and it hypes them up,
right?
And you give them a stimulant, it calms them down,
right?
That's me too.
And then if you give them marijuana, it It's going to jack them up, give them anxiety instead of calm them down. Mm-hmm. So it depends what their genetics are. You can't assume it for everyone.
Well, so you're not. That's true with any drug. I mean,
yeah.
So you're not recommending people use marijuana to?
No, I am not.
Help themselves out there?
No, I am not recommending that at all. CBD oil for pain, maybe, as long as THC is less than 0.3% or whatever, you know.
Probably not going to make them freak out.
That's right.
So if you had a kid who came in, high school age kid, say, or even younger, I guess, now, and you find out they're basically a marijuana user on a regular basis, are you talking to their parents? How does that work in your world? Are you allowed to?
If they're 16 and older, there's certain rights they have that you would probably not be able to divulge certain things if they haven't given you release of information.
Well, if they continue, you can't really treat them.
Right. Then you would just say to them, look, I need you to be honest with everyone involved, that you need to be sharing this with your family. And we're going to test you and your urine, because we do test urines, and we'll see how it's looking and see if you're not using or you are using.
Do you wind up having to explain to parents the danger and they just don't know?
Because
a lot of people think it's not that big a deal.
Right.
It's natural, right?
It's natural. And they come from the idea it's an herb, right? It's mm-hmm. natural. But the reality is it can change a person's life devastating. You know,
And does it stay that way?
It can change. Okay, so there has been some recent studies done at Harvard and some of the other schools that early teens using marijuana can change the neurocircuitry of the brain.
And we did a show with
not a good way.
Dr. Libby Stout, that's on the tab of our webpage, actually. That'd be a show if somebody's interested in the brain development and the brain chemistry changes. Mm-hmm. That show we did probably 6 months ago, and super interesting. She's in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And,
so are you a believer that it is addictive?
That marijuana is addictive? I believe, yes, it certainly can be addictive.
Well, that's another one they say, oh, you don't get addicted to it.
Well, if you have withdrawals, it's addictive, and they have withdrawals these days. We have to take a really quick break.
That's because of the potency.
And lighten it up.
Yeah, it's a potency issue.
So we have a special song. I don't know why I put it in the playlist, but it turns out it was going to be something we'd use. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Tom Andrews. You're listening to We the People Radio.
Go to the next. I was gonna go to work, but then I got high. Ooh, I just got a new promotion, but I got high. Now I'm selling dope, and I know why.
Why?
Because I got high. I was gonna go to court before I got high. Support, but then I got high.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse. A timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalennikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta. Our first responders need your help. PTSD is a crisis in our first responder community. Please remember during the car and campfires how important they were to you, your family, and your business. Today, there are more suicides than line-of-duty deaths, and we want to change that. Your donations of raffle items and money will help us bring Project Code 9 here to help them identify and treat PTSD. Contact us or donate through our Facebook page at We Back Blue Shasta.
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, so no. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I'd need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, when out of his sight, to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs, or ands, or buts. They say as a child I appeared a little bit wild with all my grit. Then they go.
Wow.
Oops.
that
now we're done
was
with that
the
song.
File. All right, we had a little sound mash up there.
There we go.
And, okay, so the book you're referencing, tell us again.
Oh, it's interesting. I know there's another issue about many times conspiracy theorists talk about, oh, my goodness, these shootings might be connected. Maybe there's a shooting that is connected to, what do they call them, false flag shootings?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Something like that. Well, I have a book that I've read two books by this author. He's an incredible author. You want to get his books. His name is Gordon Thomas. He's written 7 books for movies, and he's won an Emmy Award for his writings. And he's got two books, Gideon Spies, which is The Secret History of the Mossad, which is really
– okay.
So you know what's really interesting about that is Maxwell. You know, you've heard of Maxwell, right, in the news recently?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Epstein's Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay. Her father – was the famous billionaire Maxwell, who was a newspaper in England. And he was against the Israelis getting atomic weaponry, and somehow he disappeared on his yacht in 1992, middle of the ocean, and Ghislaine was on the boat when he disappeared.
It probably just fell off.
Just fell off. Yeah. Just like.
Sure.
So anyway, so he mentions that story, and he mentions many other stories in there, how the Mossad even talks about an interesting side story about the Iran-Contra, so you might be interested in that, read it. But this one is on The Secrets and Lies, A History of CIA Mind Control and Germ Warfare. And what amazed me about the stories, I got about halfway through it, and then all of a sudden they started talking about Sidney Gottlieb. Now, who is Sidney Gottlieb?
Yeah, why do I know that name?
He was the former president of the American Psychiatric Association. That's the highest you can get with psychiatry.
Right.
So he was involved up to his eyeballs.
Oh boy.
In all this stuff in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. So after 20 years of working with CIA, they finally ended his program in 73. But I don't remember the title of the movie. Remember that Mel Gibson movie with the psychiatrist and he was back in 1995 and he was controlled and he had been secretly programmed?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful Mind?
It was no, it wasn't that one.
It was the other guy. The super smart guy.
That was about the mathematician.
The movie was probably super smart, just not
But the Mel Gibson movie was kind of a comedy. It was funny.
Pelican Brief?
Maybe it was that.
Pelican Brief?
It was, but the key is he had a psychiatrist who was like his shaper, and he was in the movie. And I think they must have based on this character, Sidney Gottlieb. Because, anyway, but there was another psychiatrist in Montreal, Canada, McGill University, and his name was Cameron, Hugh Cameron. And what they were doing was doing these taped loops and getting them to believe and be controlled to do what they asked them to do. You remember there was a researcher called DeSantos. You've probably seen it in your school videos where he took a bull and put electrodes in a bull. And the bull starts to charge and then stops. You can see this. And so they had implanted electrodes. And by a wire box, he was able to stop a bull from charging.
Oh.
And so.
Oh, I've seen that on Cops.
Exactly.
It's different then.
That's taser, bro.
Does the bull yell out, "Don't tase me, bro"? That's what happens on the police show.
The scientist was Delgado. He was a psychologist that worked. And then a neurosurgeon in Tulane University named Robert Heath, he implanted let's see, it looks like 125 electrodes in the brain and a body of a patient. Human being.
Wow.
And he would constantly stimulate his pleasure centers. And to the point where the memory, impulses, and feelings were so disoriented, he was evoking hallucinations in the guy. Manipulating the human will at will.
Yeah.
Was what they were doing. And many of you have heard this organization called MK Ultra.
Yeah, MK Ultra. Ultra,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So the MK Ultra Project 68 was Gottlieb's project.
That was remote viewing and
yes,
that sort of thing.
And they would use mediums and psychics and stuff like that. In fact, Gottlieb put it in one of the universities, a course on Satan. Is not only alive and well, but thriving the country. And Gottlieb, the devil must be respected. And he put a course in University of South Carolina on sorcery. So this psychiatrist did that kind of stuff. And he would call it chaos magic. And he had
chaos magic.
He would call
two words that shouldn't go together.
He would call them psychonauts. And the CIA was trying to develop a group of psychonauts.
What could go wrong?
I mean, it's scary. Is this not scary?
And then you know what? Then they're going to say, you know what? You're not a good candidate. Let's just cut you loose on the public.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah.
So here's the president of the American Psychiatric Association doing these kind of experiments, and Cameron was being sued by someone in the hospital because he put her in this area and just rolled these tapes over and over again. So the question is, are these shooters possibly connected in some cases to some sort of MK Search, MK Ultra, which is no longer MK Ultra now. It's some other probably program. But is there something else that's going on, which we don't know? It could be a false flag thing.
Sure.
The guy in New Zealand is very suspicious to me because of his wandering the globe for 7 years, and then all of a sudden he shows up to shoot people.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Who could afford to wander the globe for 7 years for starters?
Exactly. How could you wander for 7 years financially?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Red flags should go off to everyone when you hear stuff like that. Now, these young students, I'm not saying these guys that we just saw, but some of these other older adults, who knows, Saran, you remember when he...
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those kind of people. Yeah. So some of the shooting may have direct ties to... drug usage, poor family homes, abuse, tendency towards violence, certainly. But then there might be a narrower, more select, and more controlled type of mass shooting type situation that might be different, or a select shooting situation.
Yeah, that's pretty scary when our government is involved in programs
that. Or scary here, 38 years in psychiatry, I'm Distinguished Life Fellow in American and APA, and the president, my president, back in the 70s,
was involved
in this nonsense.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And it started innocently with the idea that the North Koreans had brainwashed our troops in Korean War, and so...
We were going to unscramble them and
figure out how to best control people. Mm-hmm. But then it got way off. And then it got into some very dark things.
Like all things where we try to, renegotiate nature.
Right.
And we're going to be smarter.
Right.
You know, we're going to fix it.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a movie. I can't remember the name of it. Like Talking with Goats or something.
Yes.
Men Who Scare Goats. Ashley just sent me that little blip there.
And they claimed that they had somebody who could stare at a goat.
And make it fall.
And make it fall over with just their mind.
They should have started with sheep. They're easier to scare.
some sheeples.
Just a side note. And the other one might have been What Women Want.
Yes.
Is that the one?
It's something like that, but it's not that one.
Not the one where Mel Gibson tried to get put on pantyhose?
That was in the 2000s. This was in 1995.
Okay.
It's very
back to the drawing board, Ashley. Sorry, I tried. Let's take a really quick break. Let's go early, huh? And then we'll roll to the top of the hour with our guest, Dr. Tom Andrews. We're talking about, mental health and crazy stuff and, playing some silly music for you and You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with everyone. We'll sing it.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Market volatility has become a fact of life. What does this mean for your investments? Are you aware of and prepared for the risks volatility poses to your portfolio? Should you consider changing your specific holdings or the mix of assets in your account?
Rick Hill and Rory Greek Financial Advisors, the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can give you insights about these and other questions and can also suggest strategies that may help better prepare you for the market's ups and downs.
Please call Rick Hill or Rory Greek Financial Advisors at the Redding, California branch at Rick Hill or Rory Greek at 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
This old man and me, we're at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping out on care. Talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good. People are crazy.
Well, there you go. Boil it down, make it simple. Hey, so the music that we were grappling with, just in fact, in case you were screaming at your computer or radio or whatever you're listening on, trying to give us the answer, it was called Conspiracy Theory. Like, it was right in front of our faces the whole time. We just couldn't see it. Okay, so... in the final throws here, what do we want to leave people with? What should people know that they're actually – there's so much stuff people are being misinformed with, and we don't always have – well, we don't have time to go research everything. Nobody's an expert in everything.
Right.
And so when it comes to this, there's so much talk about mental health now because of the shootings. What else should people know or be thinking about, I guess?
I think the key is – If the rhetoric is heated up and we're not listening to people's ideas, I'll never forget, I was just recently in a health food store and I just happened to use the term because the person was talking about global warming. And I said, well, there could be some, you know, there's being somewhat of a scientist, I like to look at two things. I mean, three. I mean, the idea that you should have an inquiring mind.
Right.
You should be open to things.
There's never settled science because it's science.
Exactly. I mean, you've got the skeptic and you've got the believer, but I'd like to be the inquirer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not the magazine.
Yeah. But that's true. That's bad.
That's
nothing
bad
good
one
happens there.
It's with the I, not the E. And so, but I would like to be one that says, okay, let's answer questions. So I just happen to say, well, are we in a sunspot cycle? They call it the sunspot minimum is actually what it's called, SM.
Yes.
And so are we in a sunspot minimum, and are we really heating up, or are we going to see a cooling off like the cycles we've seen in the Middle Ages and around the time of Rome and other things like that? And then we – or are we going to be heating up because it's a cycle? But we're seeing that the sunspots are actually – the number of them are decreasing in an 11-year cycle, plus each 11-year cycle they're getting smaller. So therefore, there's less electromagnetic field, less heat being produced – in those situations. So are we starting to cool off since 2014? But when I just hinted about the sunspot cycle, I think
you used the word sun and the guy freaked out and his head exploded?
Yes, this person just kind of wheeled around on their foot and basically, nice talking to you. And there was even not a chance for a discussion. So I hope that we can have a discussion about psychiatry
stuff.
And stuff
yeah.
and not just tell people, oh, it's my idea and your idea is meaningless. No,
and that's really where we've
come. Oh, wait. Oh, no. Your idea makes you a racist. No,
right.
Really,
that's where we
because
are
I don't
today.
Like it.
I mean, there's two camps.
Right.
And there's no dialogue between them. You're either on this side or you're on this side.
Exactly.
Pick a team.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to get off of that.
Right. We have to solve problems. Maybe there's another way of looking at the problem. And you could say, you know, you have an interesting idea about that. Maybe we could look at this problem. We could resolve this problem. We could look at it together. And that's the way I'd like to look at it with this aggression, violence, being able to work through this and not just be indiscriminate about it. Obviously, you have a person who might be psychotic, hearing voices. You're not going to be able to reason with that. You're going to have to get them some help in a more safe setting for them and for others. But if they're not having where they're hearing voices and they're not completely out of control, then you can have a dialogue.
And I would like to believe that most people are that way. I mean, the percentage of people that are hearing voices, I think, is pretty slim.
That'd be pretty small, right?
Right. Yeah. It's generally
although it does
very
explain
small.
A lot of the driving out there, so I'm wondering.
But
I would make such a good psychiatrist.
You would certainly make a fun psychiatrist.
That's such a nice answer. That was such a Dr. Tom answer there. Make a fun psychiatrist.
And there's healing in laughter. There is healing in joy. And
I think so.
And you got to do that. And I think that's important. But if we can just let people have ideas and be able to share them and not treat them as if those ideas are anathema,
mm-hmm.
then I think we can go a long way to help.
Right.
Them. But the rhetoric's going up, and the reason the rhetoric is so high is because they're constantly trying to one-up the other person. And then the followers of either group are taking the same approach.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just say, hey, you know, I know this person said this and this person said that, but I may not see it to that extreme. I see it this way. And that would be a good way to approach it.
And that's okay. You can have your own opinion anymore.
Right.
If your opinion's not their opinion, then we have a fight.
Right. It's almost like, the Crips and the Bloods.
Yeah,
if you're wearing blue or you're wearing – so now we're into colors. So if you wear a red hat or you're wearing a blue, it gets to that
You walk
point.
Into the wrong neighborhood,
you
you're
neighborhood,
a goner.
You're a goner.
And wow. How do you peel people off the ceiling that have gotten to that point where they just, you know what I mean, can't have a dialogue? Because they're not happy.
No.
At the end of the day, they're really not happy people.
Right.
So they've got to have a huge amount of stress in their life.
Exactly.
It's got to, just spill over
and
onto everything.
And I think I can appreciate that person who couldn't hear what I was saying because they had suffered some, pretty monumental stress. And so I was able to just
the stupidity
be
fairy came.
I was able just to say, have a nice day and walk away and just mm-hmm. be polite.
You find that people are too absorbed in a topic to where they've kind of pushed their life to the side and now they're taking on this cause and everything is about that now.
There are people like that for sure. There are people like that for sure. And I think with someone like that, they believe in it so strongly because they must identify with it. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to find out, well, what about that person that you believe in so strongly? What do you identify in that person, what they're saying?
Right.
And then get them to talk about that. And I'm sure when you get calls in, Aaron,
at the
office, you get people who say, oh, you have these strong feelings about such and such.
Yeah.
You know, there must be something that made you feel so strongly about that.
But a lot of times it just degenerates into, you know, screaming and yelling. I was curious how much, because we'll never know as a society, obviously we can all guess, but how much do you think that having 900 channels focused on news that run 24 hours a day is just causing people to go around the bend?
Yes, there's no doubt that, especially when they repeat these kind of events, that's not healthy.
And that's a relatively new phenomenon in our society where this constant barrage of information is available to you with the internet, with the 24-hour news cycle. I mean, you're everywhere you look, it's on you.
Yeah.
It didn't used to be that way. And I think people were more.
Right. They were more family oriented, work oriented, school oriented, goal oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual orientation was much higher in our society. And that's also been depleted. I think the spirit.
Yeah, not to skip that part. Because without God, you fill in that gap with something.
Exactly.
So it becomes global warming or it becomes something else. And that's what you, quote, believe in. When you start talking about scientific ideas as a belief system,
an interesting thing called the Privileged Planets, a four-part series.
Privileged what?
Planet.
Planet. Okay.
And there were some, in that series, there are some former agnostics who now are believing scientists from the University of California, Berkeley, and Livermore Labs. And it's pretty impressive to see what they have to say about their belief. And there's a book called Darwin's Black Box. And that author, I think it's David Beebe, he has just an amazing way. He was an agnostic until he started studying the sciences and realizing there has to be a creative force.
Okay, wait a second.
Bigger than me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how can we have 24 steps to seeing dark and light or color in the eye? And it's 24 chemical reactions that have to happen at a certain, otherwise it won't happen.
Right. And where was that engineered?
Yeah, exactly.
It was also the Big Bang. Everything was Big Bang.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. And so what about the one thing we didn't talk about was video games and that kind of thing, especially with sending
Well, majority of American people,
children, but
yeah, 87% of American people feel that video games are need to be protected from children, violent video games.
Is that real?
It's a survey based.
But I mean,
is it a real thing?
Yeah.
I personally feel that video games, the military is now encouraging video games for training for specific situations with drones and how to communicate. And so with this MK Ultra background, couldn't videos be used in a way that's destructive, too? It's possible. Very, very possible. So can video games be done to train a person to be a better soldier? I'm sure. But could they also be used in a nefarious way? I say yes to that,
too. Well, I think they desensitize
exactly
people when you constantly – I mean, some of these kids get on these video games, and they're on them all day, every day. And so you become numb.
Shooting and all that.
And it prevents the communication, too. You've come from a – let's say you have a dysfunctional family and you're always in video games. How can you ever learn to be functional
right. In
society? So it's a distraction at the very least. And even at the most, it can be possibly causing violence, you know, in certain individuals.
Because right. we've talked about that as a society for a long time, that we should be monitoring that a little more closely and
They used to say the same thing about rock and roll. And
I know that's what I want. That's why I wondered. I mean, does it really?
Right.
If you're okay, no one's life is perfect, but let's pretend.
I mean, if you
your home life is totally normal, your school life is totally normal, your normal IQ, you just don't have any risk factors of whatever's going on, and you play a bunch of video games. What are the odds that you're...
I'm sure it's much less than someone who comes from a dysfunctional home who's been abused.
Could it be a tipping point then?
And it's a way of isolating them and preventing them from getting close to someone and alienating them further.
Sure.
So anything that leads to more alienation and more isolation, then I would move away from that.
Mm-hmm. Because that's a big thing. I mean, there is no more
good advice.
Talk around the dinner table with families,
right.
and that whole interaction with people.
That's right.
With the internet, everything is animated now. And
right.
You don't have to have a relationship.
Yeah, we used to be the ones who were animated. All of us crazy people. What are we doing?
I don't know.
So, our guest today has been Dr. Tom Andrews. He is North American Medical Health Services. You can find him if you live in Reading. You can find him at namhs.com. There you have it. Thanks, Dr. Andrews.
Right.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. That was a very interesting discussion.
Signing off for another week. We are very rarely have people in the studio, so that makes it kind of fun, too. We goof around more. I don't know.
It's fun.
Oh, we never goof around.
You can find everything about the show, and you can hear the replay at wethepeopleradio.us.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.